Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a careers consultant here in DCU. Today, as part of our spotlight on employers attending DCU's virtual careers fair, which is taking place on the 15th of October, is Karen Dempsey, HR manager with Field Fisher, and Rosie Callan, who is a trainee solicitor with Field Fisher. So listen, folks, you're both very, very welcome, and thanks for agreeing to participate in this special episode.
Thanks, Siobhan. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. I'm just going to start off with yourself, Karen. Could you tell me a little bit about Field Fisher to begin with?
Sure, yeah. So we are Field Fisher. We're a full-service law firm, and we specialise in, I suppose, many of the major practice areas of law, which would include corporate and commercial law, public and regulatory, property, employment, renewable energy, litigation, dispute resolution, planning, environmental law, insolvency and restructuring. There's quite a few there. I've probably missed a few, but many of the major practice areas. We have about 140 staff here in our Dublin office, and overall we have about 1,700 staff working across our international network. So we have about 25 offices in total throughout Europe, China. We also have an office in Silicon Valley. I suppose some of our clients, we have quite a diverse range of clients, ranging from technology leaders, social media giants, high street coffee chains, banks, pharmaceutical companies. There's quite a few there. So we have quite a diverse range.
Has the whole international European kind of element brought a very different dimension to your firm? You know, you're based in Ireland, which a lot of solicitors firms are very kind of more national based. Then, you know, what's the dimension there on the international front?
It's been really great. So we were McDougall Purcell up until last May, and we merged just over a year ago with Field Fisher. So it has brought us so much more opportunity, I have to say, as a firm. So, you know, we now have a lot more international clients that we've been exposed to. But we also have that network of colleagues throughout Europe as well, and China and Silicon Valley. So it's really been fantastic. We're working now on a lot of global projects with our colleagues, you know, throughout the different offices. So that has really helped us kind of develop in our practice areas. And indeed, even in Dublin, we're looking at, I suppose, expanding in certain service lines as well, because we know some of our colleagues in some of our other offices are doing extremely well. So we're able to work with our colleagues in those other offices internationally and help us with that. So it's been fantastic.
Yeah, that's fine. Very interesting then as well, because, you know, there may have been, you know, your colleagues in the firm and have been working on, you know, similar type work for a long number of years. And It must be so interesting then, you know, to kind of get involved in something that haven't done so before, and just both bring their own dimension and their own experience to it. Because a lot of international companies do set up their European headquarters in Ireland and things like that. And, you know, a lot of mergers and acquisitions, you know, so there's a lot to play around with. So, you know, it's very much, you know, it sounds like to me that you can have very much an international corporate law experience, you know, in your career.
Absolutely, exactly. So, you know, I said all of the staff would have access to both the national clients and the national base here in Ireland, but would also be able to have that exposure to the other international clients too. I've been able also to have that contact, I think, with the other offices that you can, you know, I suppose, bounce an idea off as well. So maybe if a client comes to us here in Dublin and it's a new piece of work that we haven't been familiar with before, there's more than likely somebody else in one of our other locations who has done some similar work. So you can get the insights from other colleagues and a different perspective as well, which really helps.
Brilliant. Just might go on into the roles there that are on offer to both students who are, you know, are completing their course and those maybe that's planning on graduating in the next year. So can you talk about your internship program and your traineeship?
Sure. Yeah, so absolutely. So yeah, we're currently recruiting for two specific positions at the moment, our trainee program and our summer internship program. So in relation to our trainee program, we are recruiting for trainee solicitors to commence in both 2021, 2022 and 2023. Typically, we would recruit around 6 trainees per year. So it's quite a small number, but we really want to nurture our trainees and, I suppose, provide them with that meaningful experience that will help them to develop into skilled legal professionals. So those trainees would commence into a structured trainee program and we would complete all their studies whilst working with us. So that's our trainee program. And then in relation to our summer internship program, that is a 1 month placement through in the firm throughout June, July and August. So in that 1 month, the interns would receive an in-depth view of, I suppose, what it's like to work in a legal practice, in a busy legal practice, should I say. And also they would develop some hands-on experience in relation to that subject area that they're working in. They'd also get to kind of see what it's like to work as a trainee, because it will help them give a flavour as to, if they were successful in the trainee programme, what they might be involved in doing on a day-to-day basis. So the summer internship programme, in fact, actually this year we actually had to change it slightly just because of COVID-19. Rather than 1 month experience, we actually reduced that down to 2 weeks, just so that we could make sure it did happen. But even in the 2 weeks, you're fully immersed in that department to get that understanding and exposure of the certain area of law that you're working in.
And can I ask him just about the summer internship there? Did that happen virtually now, or did it happen on site, or how did you manage that?
So we actually did a bit of both. So we, all of our interns would have commenced face-to-face in the office, and then they would have, once they got their physical equipment and they got their training completed, then they would have started doing a little bit of working from home and in the office. So they're doing some agile working. And I think actually that worked quite well for us. In fact, the summer interns who were there, they actually said that it was great to be able to get that exposure, that whilst they were a little bit nervous and apprehensive of completing the working from home because they didn't know how that was going to work, they actually found it really helpful, because then, I suppose, It's a reality now that this is going to be the new norm, that people are going to be, you know, working from home a lot more. And indeed, most of the companies have now started working in an agile environment where you're working home and in the office. So it helped them, I suppose, develop new skills and experiences as to what it's going to be like, you know, when they do graduate from college and they go into different positions.
Brilliant. And I suppose as you're planning for your summer internship for next summer, like you're obviously kind of thinking of something hybrid, or it could even be more virtual than you already had this year. So, you know, you probably have learned a lot from the experience.
We have, exactly. And certain departments have certain requirements as well. So, you know, in some departments where our interns were placed, they may have been doing more on-site work than, you know, kind of working from home. So it really just depends on where that person is placed. But it certainly has helped us to kind of develop, a pathway and what we need to do and make sure it works well before the internship and indeed the trainee program would commence next year.
Brilliant. So I just might go over to yourself there, Rosie. So first of all, welcome back, because I understand you completed the BCL here in DCU. What year did you graduate, Rosie?
I graduated back in November 2014.
Okay.
So it was after a three-year course.
Brilliant. And we've actually moved it to a four-year program now. So,
I have heard that. Yeah. That's brilliant.
It's terrific. And it just incorporates that valuable work placement intra-program. So that's fantastic.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So it's very robust altogether. So when we just talk a little bit about yourself, might just cast your mind back, because the listeners, you know, particularly anyone law-related program or even non-law-related, because you don't obviously have to have a law degree to pursue a career as a solicitor, so let everyone not think they have to have XYZ specifically, but just cast your mind back, you know, to, you know, your journey through BCL. Is it solicitor route always on your mind, or what was your career plan, or how did it evolve for you?
Yeah, so for me, you know, going down the career or going down the law path, from a very young age, really. I remember when I was in secondary school, we had to do the subject civil, political and social education. And part of that was learning, you know, about the different courtrooms and things like that. So I remember going home and talking to my parents about it. And it was just something that stuck in my mind. And to be honest, I was always very into, you know, academics and very into, you know, learning and studying and things like that. So, you know, I think when you're at that age as well, when you're around 14 or 15, you know, you really start thinking about what you want to do. And I remember as well, I did a week's work experience in a law firm in the town where I'm from, in Dundalk, which was great. So that kind of gave me, like, you know, a bit of a foundation of what it's like to work in a law firm. And then I just did some research. And when I commenced the BCL Law and Society course, it was a relatively new course, which was something that was very exciting for me, which is probably one of the reasons why I picked it. So I went ahead and I put it in my CAO application, and I was lucky enough to get a spot in it. So then I commenced my course then in 2011. I think it was September 2011.
That would be so, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I loved it. It was an absolutely brilliant, very well-rounded course. And just in terms of, you know, the experience that I gained at that course, I believe it was in my second year of study, and, you know, there was a compulsory module. I think it was the moot course module that we had to complete. So we did that, and myself and seven other students got the chance to, you know, go on ahead and take part in the DCU, it's a grand moot course final in the Helix.
Oh, brilliant.
It was a brilliant experience. And Mr. Justice Hedigan judged that moot course competition himself. So, like, you know, it was an excellent experience just to be able to, you know, actually formulate an argument and put it towards an actual judge. It was brilliant. So I owe a lot to that course in terms of where I am now. I'm currently in the litigation department. So, you know, in usual circumstances, I'd be down into four courts every other day. So, you know, the advocacy skills that I've learned during my course, during my years of study in law and society, you know, I still use now. So
just tell me, what stage of your traineeship are you at now?
So I'm just approaching the end of my training contract. So I just completed my PPC2 exams. So we got our results there on Monday of this week. So I'm very happy to say that myself and the rest of my trainees and my intake all passed our exams.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It was a long enough road now. So we're nearly there. So the next stage now is just formally getting on the roll of solicitors in December. That's where we are now. So we have a few more months left of our traineeship.
So you just might cast your, because you're right, it is quite a process. Now you are working and then you go into block and everything like that. But, you know, just bearing in mind that reflecting back on what you know now versus what you did or didn't know in your final year, just on that whole, you know, doing your FE1s, getting the traineeship, you know, the whole, you know, it's quite an elongated process. And yet when you probably look back, it's probably after going by in a flash, but when you're looking forward,
absolutely,
it can seem like a bit grey, you know. So
yeah.
Any tips around that, or, you know, the FE1s or anything like that, any little insight hacks there on things that you kind of felt, why did I stress about that so much, you know?
Yeah, like, I know for myself anyway, personally, you know, when I graduated from DCU, I just went on ahead and I studied for the final examinations, the FE1s, myself. So, you know, for those students out there who are just thinking of, you know, oh God, do I want to go down a solicitor route? Then just go ahead and do the FE1s. I definitely say don't hesitate in doing them.
Don't procrastinate maybe either, you know, don't.
Yeah. Just go ahead and get them done. I know there's, you know, those courses in independent colleges and things like that you can do. But I found now with the Law and Society course, like, the Law and Society course, it teaches you the law and it gives you such a great knowledge of the law, which is essentially what the FE1 exams are. So when I was studying for the FE1 exams, you know, I was essentially studying the things that I've already studied the last 3 years. So I didn't feel like I was going into something new or something daunting. I was like, I just thought to myself, right, I need to go and get these FE1 exams done. So that would be my advice. And there's 8 FE1 exams to do. So depending on what way you want to do them, you know, I sat mine 4 and 4. So that's the way I did it. But, you know, you can sit 1, you can sit 2, whichever way you want to do it.
And it's actually all after opening up now. You can do 1 at a time even, do you know? It's a completely different.
I think when I was doing it now myself, I had to sit I had to sit 3 and pass 3. So it was a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But I was lucky enough now to have my FE1 exams passed before I commenced my traineeship with McDougal Crystal, as it was then, with Field Fisher now. So I know there's so, like, you know, just do them anyway and get them done. That would be my advice.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. I might just bring you yourself back in now, Karen, and I'll come back to you now again in a minute for your take on this as well, Rosie. But Karen, I might just actually go, you might just talk us through, you know, the whole, you know, application and selection process with Field Fisher now at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of our trainee programme, there's a couple of steps involved in the recruitment process for that. Step number one is applying. So it's submitting your CV and cover letter to us. So we ask everyone to submit a CV and cover letter to hr.ireland@fieldfisher.com. At the moment, our current deadline for 2021, 22 and 23 is the 23rd of October this year. Once we receive all the CVs and cover letters, we would then review all the applications and, I suppose, shortlist the candidates who we think might be a good fit for our programme. Following that, successful candidates would be invited to attend a one-to-one interview with our graduate recruitment team. Once those are concluded, we would then shortlist again and identify who would go to the next stage of the process, which would be a second round interview with two of the partners in the firm. And then similarly, once those are concluded, we would invite successful candidates to a final assessment. So that would be a group assessment where we would provide candidates with a scenario to work on in a number of groups, and they would then work on that scenario together and present their findings back to a panel of interviewers. So that's the key process, Siobhan, for our programme, for our trainee programme. Once that's all concluded, we would then make offers to our candidates who we think are successful for 2021, 22 and 23. So that's the trainee programme. And in relation to this summer internship programme, it's a CV and cover letter being submitted again to our hr.ireland@fieldfisher.com email address. And we would then review the applications and organise interviews and then offer candidates successful positions on the internship programme.
And just on interviews now at the moment, are you doing virtual interviews over Zoom or MS Teams?
That's right, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have a couple of different types of software that we would use for the interviews. We use Skype for Business, we use BlueJeans, Skype, lots of different things there. So we have, they're all virtual at the moment, just with the current environment.
Sure.
You know, I think it's the safest option.
And with your group assessment, do you have sight on how that will operate? Will that operate virtually, do you think, or are you going to be agile around that and have to see nearer the time?
We're just going to wait and see how it goes near the time. Last year it worked very well when it was completed on site. However, there's no reason why it can't work online instead. So we will just wait and see. But there is the option of completing it either online or in the office.
Brilliant. You know, and I suppose with the final group assessment, you know, like what sort of, you know, not breaking confidentiality or anything like that, but, you know, what are the, you know, the soft skills or the strengths or the, you know, ability, like what are you looking out for that in that group assessment?
I suppose there's a couple of things. So basically what the scenario is, we've built up a fictional scenario and we have a couple of questions in relation to that scenario that we want the groups to work on. So we pull together a number of different groups of candidates who have applied for our trainee programme and we get them to work together in groups on this. So we want to see how they work together as a team, how they communicate together as a team, how they present their findings, so their presentation skills. And also, I suppose, their ability to understand what we're actually looking for in the questions as well. So there's quite a few different things that we're looking for there, you know, analytical skills, your team building skills, your communication. So they're all kind of being reviewed at that group assessment process.
Brilliant. And just coming back around to yourself, Rosie, now, in fairness, when you were being recruited at the time, there was a different circumstances. And obviously, selection procedures evolve over a period of time. Mm-hmm. But we'll take it that you did definitely have interviews anyway, and you had an application, you know, to do. Based on that experience, would you have any tips for our current final years that are thinking of pursuing their career with Field Fisher there?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So as Karen said, the first kind of stage of the recruitment process is submitting your CV and cover letter. So my top tip for that would be just to know your CV and cover letter inside out. I know it's a bit different now, but from my interviews, that's what I was primarily asked questions on, was my CV and my cover letter. And also, I know, don't be afraid, you know, to sell yourself, especially during the interview, because that is essentially, you know, what you're doing. Don't hold back and just get every bit of experience that you have academics or work-wise on your CV and cover letter, and just sell yourself. I find the interviews for when I was doing them, they were very relaxed, very informal. It's just a chat about your CV and cover letter. But my advice would just be to know your CV cover letter inside and out, because that's what you will be primarily asked questions on, I believe.
It seems relaxed, but they are actually, you know, digging in a little deeper than you might, you know, they are pulling out the information that they need to make an informed decision. Yeah. So, they make you very welcome, I suppose, to the process, but don't be fooled. They have to make an assessment is really what I'm hearing from you there. Just coming back in there, Karen, because, you know, as a person, you know, with such long standing as a HR person, but also, you know, with your own experience with Field Fisher as well, and particularly, you know, in law, what would be your top tips there for people considering applying to Field Fisher, you know?
Well, I suppose it kind of touches on what Rosie has just mentioned a moment ago as well. It's all about, I suppose, putting your best foot forward, making your application stand out. So when you're, you know, documenting your skills, your experience, your education, what makes you different? What makes you stand out? I mean, we receive literally hundreds of applications every year for a trainee program. So it's important that you really focus on what's different about you, so that we can pick your application as opposed to somebody else's. Like, we can't complete interviews with all of those hundreds of candidates. So it's about making that application stand out and making, I suppose, your skills and experience work to your advantage. You know, I often say to prospective candidates, you know, all experience is important and is relevant. So it doesn't need to be legal experience. If you are working in a customer service environment or in a retail store, they're also really valuable skills that you're learning in those roles, because you might be dealing with customers. So again, communication skills comes into that, or you might be working in a team-based environment, like say, for example, customer service when you're working on targets. So you have it's all about being results driven and team skills. So all those skills, whilst they may not be legal, are also really important to note on your CV, because they can add extra value to your application. So I think that's certainly one tip that I would suggest. Another tip I would probably say is make sure you research the company before you apply. So know who we are. So look us up, you know, look up our website, check out our social media channels, find out what we believe in, find out about our values, look about maybe the recent activity that we've been doing in, you know, and that might show on our social media channels. So it's all about making sure that those synergies are aligned together. So if you know that Field Fisher have strong values in X, Y, and Z, and you also have those same values, that's going to also kind of develop those synergies. That's going to help you make your application stand out a little bit better. So I think that's also really important. And probably the last tip I can suggest for candidates who want to apply for our program is really focus on the attention to detail. So your CV and cover letter is the first impression that we are getting of you, that we're making of you. We haven't met you before, so this is the first way you're making a mark in Field Fisher. So it's really important to have, you know, no typos, no grammatical errors there. Because if this is your first impression, is when you're really trying to shine and we see those typos, what are you going to be like when in fact you actually are in a role and are relaxed working in a position? So it's really important to make sure that, you know, that attention to detail is there. So what I would suggest is when you're finished completing your CV and cover letter, and before you press the submit button, maybe ask someone to proofread that for you before you press submit. So it might be asking a friend or a family member to have a look at that. Or if you don't have someone there who you want to proofread it, maybe just pause and take a step back before you press submit, and maybe go and sleep on it and come back with fresh eyes and look at the application before you press submit, just so that, again, you're confident that you're putting your best foot forward and you're making sure that, you know, the CV and cover letter is the best that you can possibly submit. Because at the end of the day, that's all we have to rely on when we are looking at your application. And in the legal world, it's really important to make sure that the attention to detail is there. You know, we work on really highly sensitive files. We work in a very fast-paced environment. So it's important that accuracy is there. So I think really focusing on that will help you, you know, make sure that you make a positive impression when you're submitting your application to Field Fisher.
That's brilliant. Thanks a million for that, Karen, because, you know, we do recognise that, and you've pointed it out very, very clearly. You know, everyone's busy. You might be doing assignments. You have this. You have to log on to your classwork and everything like that. And you're trying to get an application into Field Fisher. Mm-hmm. But maybe if you can begin early on the application and begin mm-hmm. early getting your CV together, or, you know, it just means then it won't be so lastminute.com, and you do have an opportunity, you know, to sleep on it. And if you don't have an opportunity to sleep on it, at least walk away, have a cup of tea for 20 minutes and walk back, and you'd be surprised, you know, doing the old fashioned printing it out, you know, just don't read everything off a screen.
But it works.
Mm-hmm. Get your, I'm a big fan of, you know, it might be seen very old fashioned now, but I go sometimes get a ruler and literally go down sure. line by line. Do you know that kind of way?
Absolutely. So, yes,
you yeah. know, because my eyes won't start reading ahead and, you know, and creating what I thought I actually said, not what I actually did say on a document. So all those little things, you know, and I really like the idea that you are actually connecting. It's not, you know, for any application, no matter what firm, no matter what discipline it is, obviously typos are a no-no, but it has particular relevance to the law profession because, mm-hmm. you know, as the saying goes, there was war started with the misplacement of a comma. Do you know what I mean? So, and the law is yeah. that kind of sensitive space, you know, and it's just one of those spaces that, just taking that pause, I think, is really, really terrific advice. The other thing I might just pick up on, and in fairness, Karen, you did actually allude to it, but just to kind of bring it back to our listeners as well. And I suppose I just would like to reiterate a point that you actually have made. For any final year student out there, or any student, you know, going for an internship or anything next year or anything like that, if you are currently working and or have been working during the summer, you know, considering the nature of what's actually happening at the moment, that is fantastic, right? That you have got an opportunity, whether that's in a petrol station or a stocking shelf somewhere, that is, you know, it's really concrete experience. For anyone who's been working in those environments, they have been in the frontline services, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, the rules and what you could do and what you couldn't do were changing on a daily basis. So they had to be very, very agile in their approach. You know, people, we weren't wearing masks. Then we had to wear a mask. Then we were wearing gloves, and then we weren't wearing gloves. And then there was sanitizer. There wasn't sanitizer. And then there was. So it was very fast moving. And I'd say every time somebody came on a shift working in their local supermarket or petrol station, had to, you know, take on something brand new again that day and deal with distressed colleagues, you know what I mean? Mm. And also deal with distressed customers, you know. And when, absolutely. You know, when as a solicitor, whether it's in a family law practice or a general practice or a, you know, a corporate law firm as yourself, the reason why, you know, somebody's come along to us is because they need help that they can't, there's problems they just can't solve themselves, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So, and being able to have those really good interpersonal skills, and you mentioned very strongly there about communication skills. So you're correctly identified the first line of communication or the first understanding of a student's communication skills is that application. So that's an example of their written skills. But that's listeners, right. Don't forget about, you know, your verbal skills, your listening skills are hugely powerful in the world of the legal world. You know, acute listening skills, are really, really important because you do need to understand what the client's concern is. So that's really, really vital. And then obviously there's obviously the body language skills as well. So tuning into those, especially when you go forward to the group assessment and things like that, just kind of tuning in as to where you are on the continuum of that. We're all not brilliant at everything, but we do have strengths within our communication skills, and to maybe tap into them as well. Any thoughts yourself on that, Karen?
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice, Siobhan. Like, I should say, the last couple of months have been quite challenging for quite a few people. And as you say, a lot of people have been taken out of their comfort zone. So those who have been working in this environment have probably gained huge skills and experience that can really help them in their career. So it's really important for any candidates who are applying for positions at the moment to acknowledge that and to note down those skills and experience that they have developed in this time frame, because as you said, they have been invaluable, and that would really help them, you know, settle into a new role. So like that in Field Fisher, as I said, it is a very fast paced environment. You're provided with skills, training and development opportunities throughout the full, throughout your full programme. But being able to come in and already be at a certain level where you may have already experienced some activity that, that's helped you develop these skills is also another, is another selling point as well, because it means you might settle in quicker to the programme. So being able to have that, that skills and experience already there, it's really important to document that down so we can note that. Because we can't read minds, so all we can do is read and judge of what is submitted to us on the CV and cover letter. So it's up to the candidate and the student to note all that information down, that valuable information down on their application form.
Brilliant. Listen, thank you so much. You've really contributed to the conversation around pursuing a career as a solicitor, number one, and what that means as going forward with Field Fisher. So thank you so much, the two of you, for that.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for inviting myself and Rosie on to participate today. It's been really enjoyable.
Brilliant. Thank you.